Hey there, and thanks for venturing beyond the Rotunda, your Farmingdale Public Library podcast, where we often talk about literature, history, and community. But sometimes we'll answer questions like, which is your favorite book, show, or movie that features fire? I am your narrator, Kevin Schultz. Let's sound the alarm. This is episode 15 of the Beyond the Rotunda podcast, a production of the Farmingdale Public Library, where we are more than just books. And I thank you for joining me for our October episode. October is known for many things. I guess the biggest would be Halloween at the end of the month. But it is also Mental Health Awareness Month, Breast Cancer Awareness Month, Liver Cancer Awareness Month, ADHD Awareness Month, World Blindness Awareness Month, which carries some weight for me, National Book Month, which matters to a library podcast like this one, and Fire Prevention Awareness Month. October has got it going on. Now, since it is Fire Prevention Awareness Month, I sat down with retired South Farmingdale Fire Chief Paul Kunkel, K-U-N-K-E-L. We talked about many of the dramatic things that he has seen and accomplished in his career, and on how we all can remain fire safe. But before we play that interview, let's check out our cover question. Which is your favorite book, show, or movie that features fire? Now, for me, the answer came quickly. I have mentioned before that I am a big Stephen King fan. I am currently in the middle of reading all his work in chronological order. And his 1980 novel, Firestarter, is my answer. This is one of King's classic horror thrillers. There's a lot of drama, a lot of tension running throughout the entirety of the book. I found it to be a page-turner, even though the ending does get a little bit away from itself. I do recommend it. Now, the movie adaptation with Drew Barrymore, I cannot recommend. It really wasn't that good. Sorry, Drew. But the book I do recommend. And since this is National Book Month, if you haven't read it already, go read it. If you have already read it, go read it again. So Firestarter is what is in my book. Let's find out what is in yours. Jen from Farmingdale writes, Chasing Fire by Nora Roberts. I read this poolside during a week-long vacation. Jen, that does sound very relaxing. Dolores from Farmingdale says, Triangle, The Fire That Changed America by David Dreher, D-R-E-H-E-R. This is a narrative nonfiction book about a fire in a garment factory in 1911, which killed many young female workers who were locked inside. It started the workers' safety movement. Dolores, I know of this historic event, but I have never read this book. I'm going to add it to my TBR list. Now we have Ryan from Pittsburgh, who writes, In 2016, I saw the movie Manchester by the Sea, which deals with a tragic house fire. I still think about this to this day. Ryan, I remember when that movie came out, but I have not experienced it. It does sound very intense. John and Laura from Plainview both said, the 1970s movie, The Towering Inferno. about a fire that blazes through a skyscraper. It was a very dramatic, edge-of-your-seat film with a great cast, including Paul Newman, Faye Dunaway, and Steve McQueen. John and Laura, although it has been a while since I've seen this great movie, I saw it several times in my youth. I do recommend it. Now we have Chris from Whitestone who writes The Glass Inferno, which is one of the two books the movie The Towering Inferno was adapted from, the other being The Tower. Chris, as I just said, I've seen the movie, but I've never read the books. I'm going to add them to my TBR list. Beth from Washington, D.C. says, The comedic book Nothing to See Here by Kevin Wilson, about a nanny that takes care of children who burst into flames whenever they get upset. It was actually very funny. Beth, I am not aware of this book, but thanks for the suggestion. It sounds very strange, and I like that. We got quite the variety of responses this month. They are all very interesting. I am surprised, however, that no one mentioned the TV show Rescue Me with Dennis Leary. Now, I never watched the show myself, but it was very popular when it came out. I do thank everyone for contributing. Next month, the cover question will be, who is your favorite fictional law enforcement character? It could be a police officer, a private investigator, an FBI agent, you tell me. Send me an email to beyondtherotunda@farmingdalelibrary.org or hit me up on Instagram and Facebook. Now let's turn the page to our interview with Paul Kunkel, where we will learn all the essential things that firefighters do for our communities. We are here with Mr. Paul Kunkel, first responder, firefighter, fire chief, local hero. He is currently the president of the 9th Battalion Chiefs Council, a delegate for the 9th Battalion's Fire District, the vice chairman of the 9th Battalion's Emergency Operations Center. He is a trainer in the Emergency Vehicle Operators Course and a member of the Nassau County Fire Commission. Paul Kunkel, thank you for venturing beyond the rotunda.
You're welcome.
Now, I have to ask, and please forgive my ignorance, you're doing a lot of impressive work with the 9th Battalion. Does the 9th Battalion refer to Farmingdale?
It's all over between the 9th Battalion and Fire Districts of Bethpage, South Farmingdale. It's like a chairman. Now, if they have questions, we bring it back to the head chairman and we bring our answers back to them if they have any questions. What's going on?
Okay. And how many battalions are there?
There's nine of us, eight of us, I'm sorry, eight.
Very good. So now, before we get into more of your professional exploits, let's ease in with our cover question. So, what is your favorite book or show or movie that is either about fire or has fire in the title?
When I first started, I got into Emergency One, and they had a Chicago fire I got into, and like three lighter books about the fire department and what's going on.
Very good. I used to watch the Chicago Fire one.
Yes.
Yeah, that was
I
pretty good
still on
one.
once in a while.
Is it really? Is it still
Yeah.
back
Yes,
on?
on Wednesday nights.
Okay. Have to get back
Okay.
into it. All right. So, where were you born and raised?
I was born in Westbury, Long Island, at Meadowbrook Hospital. Now it's Medical Center, but it was Meadowbrook at the time.
Right. And are you still living in Long Island?
Yes, I am. I live in South Farmingdale.
Right. How long have you been in the fire service?
Altogether, I've been in for 48 years.
Wow, that's impressive. And what was your motivation to join the fire service?
I talked to a couple of friends of mine, and at the time, I was working with my father at a repair shop. Guy came in with a car fire, yelling and screaming. I grabbed the extinguisher and I put it out. And at the time, the chief came up. He goes, "Who put it out?" And I said, "I did." At the time, I was only like 14, 15 years old. And he said he did a very nice job. He goes, "Think about joining." And I did. And I followed. My grandfather was in it. My uncles were in it. And I just stayed with it.
That's a great story. Thank you for that one. Do you find That the fire service does, in fact, have a family legacy to it?
Some of it, yes.
Yeah.
Some of the guys you walk in, like the father, the son, or the daughters now, with something that some of the daughters in, which I think is a good experience.
Yeah. Yeah. And you've passed on that legacy to your own family?
Yes, I passed it on to my son. And, you know, he's with Farmingdale, and now he's a city fireman, too.
That's awesome. Have you ever had any trepidation about your son joining the fire service?
Not really. I left it up to him. I didn't push him. I talked to him about it, and I left it up to him.
Very good. Can you describe the type of training that someone might go through when joining the fire service?
There's a lot of training. It's what you do is we go out to Bethpage. It's a fire academy out in Bethpage. You can learn. It's like doing the ladders, working with the hose, going into a smoky building, wearing a scout pack. We do courses. It's a lot really involved, and it takes a lot of time. And if you got to have the courage or good conscience about it.
Right.
You know?
You got to be in it all the way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tell us about the Westbury Turtles.
At the time when I was still young, I was like 18 when I got in, there was a drill team they called. It was a motorized drill team. It's called the Westbury Turtles. It was on Saturdays, we did events. We ran like B-ladder, C-ladder, C-holes. And I got kind of involved with that. We did win a couple of tournaments, a couple of trophies. And I met a lot of good friends and other teams from other departments. And I really got into it. Since I've been out of it, since I left Westbury, when I joined here, I kind of missed it. But I still go back to see some of my old friends.
Right. Are some of them still involved in it?
Yes.
Wow.
One or two, yeah. But we're all the same age. Got a little older, too. So.
Right. I had a friend who lived in West Babylon,
okay,
whose son got involved in their unit.
Right.
Does Farmingdale have one?
They had old-fashioned.
Okay.
But they never had motorized, because a lot of times right now, the motorized is a lot of money, a lot of insurance.
Right.
So.
And what is the motorized aspect?
It's jumping off like a truck. It's like set like a C rig, a B rig. And you go like a long way coming down the street. You just hit the brakes, you jump off, you hit the hydrant, then you jump off, you hit the nozzle.
Oh, wow.
You can get banged up pretty good.
Sure, yeah. It sounds like
it. I got a little road rash on my behind.
Right.
But you deal with it.
Is it accurate that most fire departments are primarily staffed on a volunteer basis?
Yes.
Was that the case in your departments?
Yes, we're all volunteer.
Yeah.
You might get some of the departments with the start now, since we have we call it dual response with the American rescue calls and all that. They have a couple paid EMTs or AMTs. They get there first, and if they have a volunteer, they come bring the ambulance. So
okay.
It's almost like we call it like a 9-9 call. It's like almost like the first responder call.
Right. And what importance does the volunteer force hold?
It's a lot, you feel, great what happens with you. If you feel good, you help, you save somebody's life. So they're there, you help somebody, put somebody's house out for them. They got a fire or something. You get a very good feeling about
right.
it.
It's gratifying.
Yes.
Yeah. You joined the South Farmingdale Fire Department in 1984.
Yes.
You moved up the ranks.
Yes.
From chief chauffeur to lieutenant to captain.
Right.
Then second deputy chief,
yes.
Then first deputy chief,
yes.
Culminating in chief of department in 2002.
Yes.
That's an impressive progression.
Yes.
Can you talk about the responsibilities of the fire chief?
It's deputy chief, so you just want to say the chief.
Fire chief.
All right. What it is, as each group, you got two deputies and the chief. You start at the bottom. One's like, you take care of one at the scene. One be inside, coating up fires. And the second, when you are the chief, you're on the outside, giving orders, telling the guys what they got to do, make sure everybody's safe, and make sure if you need mutual aid, you call the mutual aid departments to help you out. And they come up and, hey, what do you need? We need this, we need that. And it works out together. It's a lot of responsibility. And, you got to sometimes act kind of normal or cool about it. You can't really get too excited.
Right.
Sometimes you do, but you try not to let it show.
Right. So how would you describe your management style?
I was pretty good. Once in a while, like if I was going, if I knew it was a good house fire going, I do get a little nervous. I look around and I kind of just take a deep breath, relax. Mm-hmm. Everybody out of the house, yes, and I kind of calm down a little bit.
Okay. So we're recording this on September 10th,
okay.
The eve of the 9/11 memorial.
Yes.
You were first deputy chief in 2001,
yes,
when 9/11 happened. Can you talk about that day and where
I was
you
at
were?
work, and I am retired with the police department. I was a police mechanic, and at the time, the bosses that I had was like five or six of us that worked with the fire department. Well, not work, volunteer with the fire department. We're getting called, and they gave us permission to leave. And I came back. I ended up sending a heavy rescue and one of our ambulances in. And as it went on, we started finding out, like I lost two of our cousins and a lot of good friends, and still bringing like back a lot of memories. So
Yeah.
it's a little what to talk about sometimes.
Which I can imagine, and I my condolences for your losses.
Thank you.
So you weren't actually at Ground Zero?
No, I
Was
stayed
that
back.
difficult for you not to be in the fray?
Not being there, but I had to worry about, South Farmingdale, because one of my the chief of the department, he was in the city, he was a fire marshal.
Right.
And the other guy I had was my baby chief. He was like going in with the ambulance, so I had to stay back and
Right.
cover my area too. But I still had a lot going on with the guys that I sent in, and I still got to worry about that and worry about my
Right.
district.
Right. I can feel that stress, sure.
It was a lot of stress, yes.
So, what are some of the physical or mental challenges that a firefighter might face?
You'll be going in, a lot of smoke, a lot of fire. You got to worry about if it's going to collapse on you. If you're in there, there's a couple times it would go over your head. That'd be called like a backdraft. You can get pretty burnt. It's a lot to think about, and a lot goes through your mind. And if I tell you, if you say you're not scared, I'll call you a liar to your face, because everybody's a little scared. I don't care who you are.
I can
It's a
imagine.
little nervous going in.
Sure. Have you ever suffered an injury on the job?
Yes, I got burnt a little bit, not as bad, like maybe on my hands or something, but nothing really. Where I had to go to
Okay.
the hospital,
Right.
I was taken care of at the scene.
Good. So now you received two awards for use of CPR in saving someone's life.
Yes.
I understand one of those was in 2023 when you were on vacation.
Yes.
Can you tell us that story?
I was me and my wife were on vacation. We were in Aruba. We're sitting by the pool. My wife was by the beach at the time. I got up. I saw a lady yelling and screaming that her husband's not breathing, not breathing. And all of a sudden, he fell. I went over. I had no pulse, no breathing at all. I saw a CPR on him. The nurse came, not the nurse, well, the doctor was there at the time too. She came over. She gave me a hand, and they called for their first responder and their medical unit. And when it came, the guy goes, "Who started CPR?" I said, "I did." And he goes, "She did a very nice job." I met the guy after it was over. Maybe a year later, I met him. We talked. He goes, he's very thankful that I saved his
Sure.
life. He goes, "I'm a little upset with you." And I looked at him. I go, "What did I do?" He goes, "You broke my ribs."
Right.
I go, "I'm sorry, but that's part of the procedure." And he invited us to dinner, me and my wife. And I still kept
Right.
in contact with him.
Wow.
So,
Yeah, I'd give up a rib to save my life, sure.
yeah, four ribs on him. But
So what's going through your mind in a moment like that?
I was just worried about it. I hope he makes it. It's a lot going through, and I just didn't even think about it. I just did what I had to do.
Right.
I just kept, like, I will say, like, whinders, almost this is what I had to do. It was people yelling and screaming, but it didn't. I just did what I had to do.
Right. The training just takes
Yeah,
over.
yes.
Right. And you said you've been able to keep in touch with
Yes,
him.
I keep in talk to her. In fact, I just talked to him about a month ago. We keep in text. He calls me, and I talk to him. And like I said, we met him. He came, met us here. We went out for dinner, me and my wife, his
Right.
wife. And both of them are very appreciated what I did. And he
Yeah.
texts me, goes, "I'm still here." Goes, "Thanks to you."
Okay. That's amazing. And so now you're also on the scene for the Suffolk County wildfires.
Yes.
Is that from like 1995?
Yes. I was a captain at the time.
You were a captain at the time.
We went out with one engine. We stayed over there almost 48 hours. We helped them out.
Wow.
So that was a little scary too.
I can
The
imagine.
wind shifts on you, you can be in trouble.
So do you remember how those started?
They said somebody put a cigarette, so.
Wow. Now, what's the process of trying to contain and then ultimately extinguishing a fire like that?
That you go on the outside. If you're like digging, you try to make a tent, a trench on it, and then you just keep putting water on it. And just, if you have to go the other way, just walk around it and just
Right.
keep water, or you make a big trench and just hope it don't go any further. But get the wind, you gotta go with the wind too. The wind
Right.
changes on you, you could be in trouble.
Right. You gotta shift with it. You gotta stay kind of fluid
So
with the
you gotta
wind.
shift with it, and it could be a pain.
Yeah. And how long did they blaze for?
We were out there. They were out there almost a good 4 or 5 days. I was out there 48
48
hours.
hours, right?
Then we switched. Then my other crew came out, and we came back.
Right. Can you tell us about your role during Superstorm Sandy?
I was an ex-chief at the time. I was driving the engine. We were going to Massapequa. They got flooded. They got calls left and right. We went in, and it was terrible going down the streets. We just barely made it. I almost sank the engine twice because of the water. And we had put out two house fires while they were gone.
Wow.
So it was very hard getting in.
You wouldn't think there'd be many house fires during a storm like
It
that.
was.
Yeah.
It was all a lot of electrical. That's what it's all for.
Sure, that
Once it
makes
starts
sense.
going. And like I say, I almost sank the engine twice because of the way the water was past the doors almost.
Right. So, what's the most challenging rescue you've ever been involved in?
Mostly with a car accident, we're trying to use the hearse tool to draw lives, trying to get in there. And you can hear the people screaming, and you start thinking about it. Am I
Yeah.
hurting the guy, or I'm trying not to hurt him,
Right.
or body the parts of the car is moving. You start thinking it's and you start getting nervous,
Sure.
but you just keep doing what you got to do.
Right. So annually, you are involved in the fire prevention program.
Yes.
Since October is the month for Fire Safety Week, can you tell us about that program?
So we have it every October. We call it open house. We have all our rigs out. We do the smokehouse. We show them how to do CPR, a little bit like with little dummies. We have like little demonstrations. They go through the trucks, look at the trucks, play with the hose, and we show them how we use the hearse tool for draw lives, and then we give out little gifts for the little kids.
Nice.
Fire hats and coloring books.
And that all through October, or?
We do it like on the weekend. Then
Okay.
once in a while we come up here.
To the library?
Yes,
Oh,
we
nice.
bring the engine up. We do it like for they call it like fire truck day or whatever it is.
Right.
So we come up here with it and give out coloring books, hats, and I play with the nozzle and everything.
Very nice.
Yes.
But how does the fire service attempt to minimize the community risk?
It's we try to be there. We cut down like if anything happens, we're there like 3 to 4 minutes, 5 minutes, and we try to get everything before everything really gets out of control. Unless somebody lives close by, we tell some of the guys if you got a little more experience, if you go past it, you can kind of stop if you can help. If not, go right to the firehouse so we can get the rigs out.
And what would you say is the thing that causes most fires?
I would say a lot of it's electrical. Or something on the stove, somebody lit the stove on, or they forgot about it
Right.
and walked away.
I had an incident the about a month ago. I was down in my basement where my washer and dryer is. And it's at night, my family's sleeping, and I came back upstairs and I was like, I smell gas. I walked around and I walked over to the stove, and one of the burners was on. But did no flame. Shut that off right away, open the
Right.
windows, get
Yes.
that
Yes.
out. It's a good thing I was awake.
Yes.
So yeah, you gotta be careful, gotta check.
Yeah, we check too a lot of times. We go, like, especially if we go to the house for a rescue call, somebody's sick or something. I have a habit of looking around to see if the guy has smoke detectors, or
Right.
I say something, hey, look, you don't have a smoke detector. Oh, well, we took it down for a battery. I will put it back up. You want to be safe. And they look at, oh, thank you. And so.
Yep. Can only do what you can
Yes,
do, right?
yeah.
What are some of the most important fire safety tips you can offer us?
It's be safe, watch what you're doing. Make sure, like I said, make sure you have smoke alarms in there. If you see something, say something. Don't be afraid to say it. Or if you smell something, call somebody. Don't be afraid. It could be nothing, but you'd rather be safe than sorry.
Right. So, how has the fire service changed over your years?
A lot of it changed with the equipment. A lot of it's with our gear, what we wear now. We wear like bunker pants, we call it. Back then, we don't have rubber boots and a rubber coat. Now you got more protection, you got a helmet, you got more like a face piece, a hood, it helps you go in, and it's a lot changing. And now you're getting all different kinds of things burning, so now you got to wear SCBA to breathe, so you don't get overcome by smoke or anything.
Right. And what's that mean?
It's a breathing thing for us to breathe so we can't go into the fire,
Right.
so we don't get overcome by smoke and end up going to the hospital. And it's a lot of tests you got to go through, it's a
Yeah.
pain.
You want
Yes.
to avoid it, right?
Especially with the smoke inhalation,
Yes.
it give all kinds of needles and you get some kind of shot. It's sometimes it's not worth it, but
Right.
you got to do what you got to do.
So, has it at all been a challenge for the fire service to balance their traditions with their new innovations?
A little bit, yes. Yeah, because a lot of what it is, a lot of it is states coming out with a lot more training, a lot more hours. And especially if you got a job, sometimes it's hard to really do both,
Right.
especially right now, you know. But guys do it. I did it, you know. We still do it. We do what we can do, you
Right.
know.
Well, Paul Kunkel, you and your colleagues are true heroes. I thank you for your service, but we're not done. I always end by playing a little game. And the game I have chosen for you is called Page Turner. It's basically rapid fire questions. So, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. How heavy is the equipment a firefighter wears?
It could be almost 50 pounds, 60 pounds, maybe 70 pounds. If you get wet, it could be a little more.
Wow. What is your fastest time putting on all the equipment?
Probably about 4 minutes, 5 minutes.
Okay. It takes me about 20 minutes to get dressed every morning,
Right.
so I'm impressed by that.
Well, usually everything's laid out for you, you know, like especially what your gear is, that you got your bunker pants down, so you just put your feet in, pull everything up, and you put your coat on. It's about 5, 10 minutes.
There's a routine to it,
Yes.
right? So, knowing what you know of me, which is not much, do you think I can handle the equipment?
Would say yes.
Okay. I appreciate
Yes.
that. I like the
Yeah, you
confidence.
know, I would say yes, you know, because you don't want to turn somebody down. Oh, I'm, you know, the guy's picking on me. You want to give the guy a chance, give him
Right.
credit. And if he needs help, you help him.
Absolutely. What is the funniest or weirdest thing you ever seen on the job?
It's times that we get there, you know, some people feel embarrassed, you know, like we go in there, oh, my cat's stuck in the tree, but they don't want to say cat's stuck, or
Right.
and we're like, we kind of really don't do that.
Right.
But you know, sometimes you're there, you kind of like look the other way and kind of help him out a little bit. You know,
Actually does happen.
sometimes,
Cat
yeah,
tree.
we they don't say that, they say
Right.
something else, and you get there, you go, oh, it's wires, and then you look, and well, it's a cat, then you start laughing, and sorry, we really don't do this. If a cat got up there, it'll come down.
Did any of your fire stations ever house a dog?
No, we never did,
Never
but
did. So that Dalmatian thing is kind of a myth.
some people do have a dog, you know, some don't, or some just have a regular dog, but. A
Right.
couple guys, members do have a Dalmatian, and once in a while they bring it around for parades or something like that.
Nice. If you can only drive one vehicle for the rest of your life, would it be the fire truck or your favorite sports car?
Probably my sports cars. Oh, I like old cars, so
No. Do you have any?
yes, I have an old 64 Chevy Impala
Very
that me and
nice.
my wife go to car shows with.
Oh, very
So
nice. How much fun is it to actually slide down the fire pole?
we never really had a pole. Over here in South Farmingdale, but when I was in Westbury, they did have a pole. It is kind of funny, but you gotta watch how you land sometimes too, because you can do something with your ankles. I see a couple of guys come down and hit their ankles, but it's a lot of fun.
Can you scrape your hands too?
Sometimes you get a little burnt, you
Yep.
know, especially if you hold tight. Sometimes you get the rubbing, little burnt burn
Right.
marks, I call it.
So I have a little fear of heights. Have you ever had to overcome any type of fear in your training?
A little bit with the heights. You know, it took me a little while to get used to going up. Like, I went up to a certain point, and one time they put the ladder all the way up, and they go, oh, I'm not climbing. I'm like, I don't think so.
Right.
I did it, and would I do it all the time? No.
No.
I like to be on the ground.
What is the most serious local fire that you've had to fight?
When we had a house fire, we had a impact on this property. It was a flower shop here. It
Right.
was very intense because we had a propane. We had lumber, you got all the chemicals. Now you're worried about the neighborhood with the smokes and everybody. Then you worry about your members going inside.
Right.
Are we going to be all right? Is everything going to be okay? It's a lot to think about.
Yeah. And you guys handled it well.
Yes, we did very good.
And finally, what is the one piece of fire safety equipment that everyone should own?
Right, for the house, or
Yep.
I would say smoke detector.
Smoke detectors?
Yes, or CO detector. Yeah.
Right. We have both in my
Yes.
house, so.
Some of them's both, you know, CO and
Right.
fire, but I will get both of them and practice fire safety.
Right. Does the fire department have like a program for that, for the fire
We
safety?
do it when we have open house. We have
Right.
like I do the smokehouse, and we explain it to them, you know, if you see smoke, you know, if you go to the door, look both ways. If you can't get out, go to the window, start yelling and screaming, I'm
Right.
up here, I'm up here. We show them how to get out of the house.
Very good. Very important stuff. Well, Paul Kunkel, I thank you for your time. Again, thank you for your service.
Yes, thank
And
you.
I thank you for venturing beyond the rotunda.
You're welcome. Thank you. I appreciate it. Made my day.
Now, even though the topic of fire or fire prevention isn't all that much fun, I found that interview very entertaining and informative. Paul Kunkel may be a soft-spoken man, but he is a man of heavy courage and dignity. He and his colleagues are real-life heroes, and I cannot thank them enough for their service. Now, you know who else I can't thank enough? All of you, our listeners. October is the anniversary of our first episode. We dropped the introductory episode on October 28th, 2024, and we have released 14 other episodes and interviews since. We made it through our first year, and that is because of all of you, our loyal listeners. So give yourself a round of applause. We are going to finish out this year, this season, with interviews in November with police officer and Homeland Security agent Todd Atkin, where we will discuss situational awareness. And then in December, we will sit down with teacher and author Catherine Hughes, where we will discuss her epic work of historical fiction, In Silence Cries the Heart. As it is National Book Month, give it a read so you will be prepared for the conversation. And then in January, we will begin season two. I hope you will continue to support us, follow us, and subscribe. I thank Maxiel. I thank Brendan and Natalie. I hope you all enjoy spooky season, have a fun and safe Halloween, and until next month, enjoy wandering the stacks.